Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast. And today I'm interviewing Carolyn Howard Johnson. Carolyn is the award-winning author of several fiction books, as well as poetry and also non-fiction works. She is best known for her Frugal Book Promoter series, which is what we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Carolyn.
Hi, it's so good to be with you.
Yes, great to have you on the show finally. So first of all, can you tell us a bit about you and your writing and publishing journey?
Just kind of in general. Well, let's see. I started very, very early writing for a newspaper in the United States, and gave it up for many years afterward for other things, family, as women in those days were wont to do, and a business that I started with my husband, retailing business, and then I got sick and realized that if I didn't write the novel that I always wanted to write back in the days when I'd started writing, that I'd never get a chance. So we sold our businesses, and my husband and I both started writing, and he started acting. So we're living out our dream as second, third, fourth, fifth careers.
Wow. That's
so
good.
The reason I started writing the How to Do It Frugally books for writers was because even with my marketing background, I'd worked for a publicity agent in New York City, writing media releases for big time fashion designers like Christian Dior. He's one of the only ones that people would recognize still, but that's what I did. And so I realized that even with that experience, that promoting a book was quite a bit different from general marketing, and that I didn't want other authors to fall into the same potholes that I'd fallen into. So I started with a Frugal Book Promoter and have done another full book and a booklet since then in the same series.
Well, before we get into the Frugal Book Promoter, I'd just like to pick up on your comment there about, you know, writing the book that you always wanted to write, and how you had got sick, and, you know, so you wrote your book. But after, presumably, you know, you're better now, or you're doing other things now, so you wrote that book and then you wrote other books as well. So, you know, maybe you could comment a bit more on sort of writing your dream book.
Oh, yes. Well, it was based on my own life. It started out as a memoir. I think that happens to a lot of first-time authors. They draw probably more extensively from real life than more experienced writers, and it won 8 awards, it came out just before the Salt Lake City Olympics. It's set in Salt Lake City, and that helped me with its marketing, obviously, because everyone was interested in that spot just before those Olympics, And then I moved from there into other creative writing. I did a book of short stories called Harkening, and those were more really creative nonfiction. They were sort of the chapters that got put into my memoir that I couldn't use when I fictionalized the novel. So I grabbed the chapters out and put them in a book of their own. I believe in recycling; never throw anything out. And so that was my second book. And then since then, with another Aussie, by the way, you probably know her, Magdalena Ball, I have written several chapbooks of poetry, and then one on my own published by Finishing Line Press. So those are my creative works, aside from my nonfiction work.
And I love that, because I'm trying to do the same now. I'm writing my first novel, but, you know, I've only written really nonfiction before, and I'm really finding it sort of setting me free, you know, in my head about being able to be a marketer and an entrepreneur as well as a creative writer. So, and you're obviously managing that sort of dichotomy very well.
It's a little difficult to stay focused in the marketing itself. It seems as if one really has to make a choice whether one wants to be promoting and marketing one's creative work or one's nonfiction. But having said that, one does help the other. So, and writers is what we do. When we get right down to it, that's what we are.
Mm.
And there's a lot of learning, as you're discovering, I'm sure, moving from one genre to the other. It's not like there's nothing new to learn in that process. But because we're writers, I think we relish it. And I think it keeps life interesting, you know. So I do look back on some of the things I wrote originally as a poet, as an example, before I'd taken any classes, and kind of wish that I hadn't gotten them out there. And as you know, with the net, once something's out there, it's out there forever.
Yeah.
So I do caution people who are doing that to do their homework and take a few classes before they publish anything, as they move from genre to genre. That's my big warning to people who are in that spot.
No, that's exactly right. Okay, so let's get into the Frugal Book Promoter, because that's kind of what you're famous for, and certainly on Twitter, you know, I recognize your little yellow symbol there. So maybe we could talk about, because I have had quite a few sort of marketers on here, but maybe you could give us some sort of top tips for the Frugal Book Promotion. So I presume by that you mean free. Do you mean free or free or cheap?
I mean, I prefer, because I'm really frugal. I was raised by a Depression mother, Great Depression mother. I prefer free, and that's one reason I love online promotion. But I also include other things, because there are times when writers, especially if they have outside jobs, outside meaning outside their writing, can't afford the time or just don't have the time to do it all themselves. So I don't think any of us get by with spending no money ever. And I think that would really be the wrong tack, because there are times when you just have to make decisions to spend something. It's just that in general, I hate to see writers spend money on anything they can do themselves unless they've really analyzed it and really have to do that. Because I spent a small fortune on a publicist promoting my novel, This Is the Place. Almost $35,000 that I inherited from my aunt. And it was really a big-time publisher. And this was 2001. Things were less expensive then. So that $35,000, I don't know, maybe that's more like $50,000 now. And she didn't do one thing I couldn't have done myself.
Mm.
So, you know, I'd rather see people read my book, decide what they can and can't do, what fits their pocketbook, what doesn't, what they want to do, what their personalities will allow them to do. It does cover a lot of things that are just cut out for shy people, people who don't really want to get out from behind their computer, and then make a decision of if they have any budget at all, how they want to spend their budget. But you can get by with free. There's a lot of stuff in there that's absolutely no cost.
That's brilliant, and I really appreciate you sharing that, because I started my blog as well because I had spent money and time doing things that I later found out were completely pointless, and, you know, I could have done it, you know, for free or cheap myself.
Said that a lot of times, unless an author has read up a little bit on the basics of marketing, they make some other mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes I think that they make is giving up too soon on a promotion that they're doing. As an example, they might take up blogging, and they think if I blog, people will come because this is the net, and it'll go on search engines, and people will just find me. Well, certainly that's true to a certain extent, but any promotion you do, the promotion itself has to be promoted. And so they try it, and they don't see a lot of action. They certainly don't see a lot of book sales at first, and they give up on it.
Mm.
And my feeling is often they give up just before things were ready to explode. That if they continued just a little bit longer and they started building on some other online promotions, as an example, and started interconnecting those promotions, like Twitter and the blog, as an example, that they would have found more success.
Mm.
But instead, they just give it up completely and move on to something else. Well, if you look at a fantastic marketing program like, let's say Coca-Cola's, they're known for just being the best in the world. They've made a few boo-boos in their days too, but the best. They don't do one thing. They don't do just advertising. They don't do just blogs. They don't do just a website. They do a little bit of everything. They just make everything sort of tie together so that they have an effective branding when they're doing whatever it is they're doing. And so with all those things working together, it works for them, and it will work for an author the same way.
Mm. No, that's great. And you mentioned their blogging and Twitter, which are, you know, probably my top two things as well. Do you have another favorite thing to do for book promotion that you recommend?
Well, my favorite and the one that works best for most authors who feel they can do it is speaking. And by that I include teaching. Teaching and speaking are two of the most profitable for an author who'd like to be making a little bit of money while they're supporting their creative habit, and just getting the word out there. So a good way to start speaking is to start teaching, because that gives you experience talking in front of an audience, and a classroom is an audience. But your local library, just about any place that you can do it, have a party at home and start. Learn a little bit about it by speaking to people you know and love and know accept you. Enroll at, I don't know if they have this in Australia, but I imagine they do, the Toastmasters Club.
Yes, absolutely.
And those are pretty much free. Some of them may have dues, but most of them, you know, very nominal fees. And just get comfortable with talking to people, because radio programs like this one are free, but you've got to be able to talk.
Mm.
So I think that is one skill, along with the craft of writing itself, that's really, really important if an author can possibly see their way to doing it. Isn't just scared spitless. And even if they're scared spitless, they still might be able to get over that if they start small and move one step ahead at a time. It's absolutely the best way to promote.
Oh, and I totally agree with you. And I've been trying myself to develop a sort of speaking platform, and it does certainly make you a bit more money, and you can sell books and products as well. So that's great. And I think, yeah, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. So
It's networking too.
Mm.
You know, you get to a room of 80 or so people, and some of those people are really eager to help you do whatever it is you want to do. So they might be willing to give you a little book signing in their home and invite their friends. They buy your books. They follow. They'll subscribe to your newsletter. You put out a list. It's a valuable way of building all of the other promotional things that you're doing.
Mm, that's fantastic. Now, I guess just going back to the technology, I mean, you talked a bit about being frugal with your time as well. So do you do everything yourself technology-wise, or do you get people to help you? And do you recommend that people sometimes outsource if they're finding technology too difficult?
You know, sometimes people outsource. I do a lot of bartering where I give someone benefit of my contacts, my networks, the exposure on my blogs and my newsletter, that kind of thing, in return for services. That's a really frugal way to tackle something like that. And I started out with absolutely no technology whatsoever. Again, this was early in 2000. I wasn't exactly 20 anymore. So I just learned what I needed to know as I needed to know. And I remembered the idea of setting up a blog was just very scary for me. And I asked a friend if she'd call me and lead me through it, literally one step at a time, which she was happy to do. And I've done, you know, favors for her. So that's one way to tackle something that you don't know. I did take a class at my local community college. But having said that, my books are written that teach you exactly how to do these things, even without any knowledge, because that's the way I learned. And I am still not a tech genius. What I am is a really good marketer and writer, if I do say so myself. a really good marketer who has learned to utilize all the stuff on the web, on the internet, to my advantage. And I think because I had to learn it step by step, and as a person without a tech background, that puts me in a better position to help other people who are in the same spot. In other words, I know I have to drop back to their level to explain things one step at a time. And I think that's one of the things that makes both the Frugal Book Promoter and its sister book, The Frugal Editor, so extremely valuable, is that unlike a lot of books on author promotion and on marketing, my books don't just say, you really need to do it. My books do step-by-step-by-step instructions of how to do it and step-by-step instructions of where to go for the resources that will help you do it, and even resources of places to start. As an example, I recently wrote a book that was just released called Your Blog, Your Business, and it's really niche for retailers, but it recommends, it doesn't get real fancy and tell you about all the different places that you can do a blog, because there are dozens of them, and everybody seems to have their favorite. I talk about Blogspot, and that's the one owned by Google. It's free, and it's really easy to set up. So I show people how to set up a blog with that book in 5 easy steps. Now, if they don't happen to be a retailer, that would still work for them, even though some of the examples in it are retailing. But the point is that I keep it simple, stupid, so to speak. And if somebody wants something more advanced, I give them the resources to go find those more advanced.
Yeah.
Those more advanced things. A good place to do that is Just the Facts, Just the FAQS.com. She has some books on all of the different kinds of places for people to go for blogs, WordPress, etc. And she has a book for each one, and it goes into a great deal of detail. And, you know, it starts easy, but it still goes into a great deal of detail. And she also, her name is Ma'ana Stevenson. She also does really nice consulting work if people still are a little leery of trying to learn everything from a book.
Yeah, and I think you raised a really good point there, which is, you know, people have to learn this stuff, and, you know, you've learned this stuff, I've learned this stuff. Everyone, you know, has to kind of accept that, you know, even if you write a good book, you still need to learn about marketing, and even if you're going to hire someone, it's better to know a bit about what's going on, or you will get ripped off. So
absolutely.
I think, yeah, learning is so important, isn't it, these days?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the thing about it is that we have to keep learning. You know, we think we've just got something mastered and something new comes along. So if there's somebody out there who says, oh, I just can't possibly blog, or I just can't possibly tweet because, you know, I don't know how, and it's just also confusing, well, one baby step at a time here. We all started one baby step at a time. So you just decide that you're going to do it. People, as an example, who find Twitter difficult or confusing, you go on Twitter.com, you set up a profile page the simplest way possible, takes up like 3 or 4 steps, and there's a window, and you enter your first tweet. You don't have to understand the whole thing before you get started. Just, you know, just do it, as Nike says.
They're
another great marketer, aren't they? Just do it.
No, absolutely. Now, talking about Twitter, so you've got a new book coming out, Frugal and Focused Tweeting for Retailers, and, you know, about integrating your social media. Now, I think authors should be retailers these days. You know, I'm a retailer. I sell my books. You know, you are as well. So maybe you explain why social media and Twitter in particular are so beneficial for authors, and tell us a bit more about that book.
Well, you know, I resisted social media for a long time. I guess you could say I didn't, in quotes, get it for a long time either. I did a little on MySpace and didn't have much luck with it. I think at the time it was mostly for really young people when I tried it. Maybe I was a little too early, a little on the early edge. But since then, I opened a Facebook account and I started doing Facebook. And when Twitter started, I got in on that pretty early and kind of grew with it. So it's one of those subjects I really do know quite a bit about. And what I found with Twitter was it was the first time that I've ever done any kind of promotion, and that includes paid advertising, where I could actually specifically trace the sale of a book to a specific tweet.
Hmm.
And that's one of the things that discourages so many authors from promoting, is that they at first don't see results. They don't see actual book sales results at the very beginning, unless they're going out to speak and they're selling books at the back of the room, something of that sort. But they get online and they tweet and they tweet and they tweet, and then they go on Amazon and they don't see that any books have sold. So that's discouraging.
Hmm.
Now, having said that, I have to admit that I already had some lists built, and so I was able to get quite a few followers really early on. Obviously, if you're only tweeting to an audience of one and you enter a tweet, you're not going to get huge results from that. But as you build your numbers, you're going to see that if you tweet about a blog entry, or if you tweet about your book, or if you tweet about a speaking engagement that you're doing, that you will actually see results. You will actually hear from someone who comes to your speech and says, "Oh, I heard about you on Twitter." You're actually going to be able to go to Amazon, not all the time, but occasionally, right after a tweet, and see that somebody clicked through on the link you gave them and bought one of your books.
Mm.
It's absolutely amazing. And now that that's happening, I'm seeing it happen more on Facebook, too.
Mm. And you,
so
I guess
that makes me really enthusiastic about this particular way of promoting.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm a total Twitter fan as well. And I should say that I only started on Twitter just over a year ago and, you know, decided to really focus on it. Like you say in your book title there, focus tweeting, I focus on Twitter. And, you know, I started with zero followers and I have over 13,000 now. And that's just a case of being useful and focusing, I think. It's so you can build up those numbers. And I think when people first start, they think, oh my goodness, it's only, you know, I have 10 people following me. But it builds up, doesn't it, over time?
Well, and you can go after a few, you know, focus on them. Those are really the ones primarily that work for you anyway, are the ones where you search out people who are specifically interested in whatever focus your tweets are going to take. You want to stay focused, but you also want to invite people. I don't know, remember whether it was you who invited me or I who invited you, but I do know that that's how we met on Twitter.
Yep, exactly.
And that's another thing. I think it's really a mistake to judge any kind of a promotion solely by book sales. So many times the real value lies in networking, and the results of that networking then result in book sales as your reach expands. So that networking is something that's invaluable. And to make networking work, you've got, first of all, you've got to be out there. And second of all, you've got to be willing to ask. You and I have both done that.
Mm.
And we both learned how to do it. So it's easy to ask as long as you don't only ask, you also return something, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I think being useful is probably my best Twitter tip. Do you have a best Twitter tip you'd like to share?
I can't beat that one. You know, in fact, I just sent out a tweet about the most people misunderstand marketing. Marketing is caring. That's what marketing is. And it's always been that way. I don't know how marketing has gotten such a bad name from so many people who are trying to sell things themselves. There's so many people who don't understand it, who think that somehow that self-promotion is there's something shady about it. And I think it's because so many people grab onto it and it's all me, me, me. And you really do need to be caring, loving, and giving. And as you do that, it fosters your own spiritual growth. Can you believe marketing does that? But it also draws people to you, and they are more willing to do the same for you. It's them. That's what it is. Marketing is them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess we're almost out of time, but we've gone so fast. But I'm actually really you talk about marketing there, and we've talked about your creativity, and I'm very interested in your business model, because you incorporate book sales, courses, speaking, products, editing. Can you comment on authors building up a business around a brand and why that's important these days?
Well, I think the fact that you mentioned the word brand is very important. I think that opportunities come our way, and the better known we get, and the more books we've written even, the more evident that will be. The trick is to try to stay focused, make a decision based on what you find appealing and what fits your personality. I'll give you an example. I just met a wonderful man at National Stationery Show, where I launched my series of retail books. And he was just adorable. He was really, really trying to help me. And at first I got very excited about the program that he was presenting to me. But as I got excited and I started realizing everything that was involved, I realized that it was going to take way, way more time and way more energy than I wanted to give to it, because my major focus is at this point helping is writing, number one, and number two, because that feeds my own spirit, and number two, helping other writers, because that feeds my own spirit. So by helping others, I'm helping myself, and vice versa. It's a cycle. And if we make our decisions with that focus in mind, that brand should just sort of take care of itself. Although you should still think about your branding, but it will help take care of itself. It'll make it easier.
And I totally agree with that. And I get the same. I get lots of kind of opportunities come up, and then you have to really think, does this fit what I want to do with my life and my time?
Yes.
You know, regardless of whether you think it might make you some more money, that's kind of not the point, is it, when you're looking at a long-term brand and a business?
Yeah. And, you know, grassroots, a lot of people say, well, some of the big marketers I know, really, really people who really are well-known, talk about looking at everything they do depending on how many eyeballs it will get, as an example, or how many listeners, and sorting them out. And the time might come when I will have to do that, too. But I can also see that doing radio, as an example, that have grassroots listeners and a specific audience of their own can in fact be more valuable, because I'm reaching my own goals better that way, which is more of a one-on-one kind of an attitude about reaching people. Yeah, we want to build our Twitter list of 13,000. I mean, that's fantastic, but we still want to keep that personal touch, which is the reason you built your list of 13,000, right? So now some people finally decide that they want to go beyond that, and that's fine to them, but it's a decision that we should make with our glasses on, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I think now that, you know, this is why I do a podcast as well and do video, is you can be much more personal on a podcast and with your videos than you can be with Twitter, for example. You know, you can, as you said, I mean, I think it's probably putting it out there in different ways, isn't it? Putting your brand out there in multiple aspects.
And Twitter helps you talk about your, Twitter helps you drive an audience to your more personal videos and podcasts. So they each serve their own purpose, but I just gave a seminar on tweeting at the National Stationery Store show that I mentioned before. It was in New York at the Javits Center there, and it's a trade show in the United States, a really big one for retailers, and we talked about tweeting, and the woman I was presenting with is the CEO of a large publishing company of trade magazines. And she said that it's important, even on Twitter, to do a certain amount of personal tweeting. Now, that doesn't mean telling people what your religion is or getting political. In fact, I think probably in most cases you shouldn't do that.
Mm.
But still, tweeting about things that are related, that are kind of personal. Like sometimes I tweet about my Great Dane. A lot of people love dogs, love pets. So it shows a personal side to me, of me, to people, so that I don't look like I'm only business when I'm on Twitter. I need to do a little bit more personal things there, too.
Mm.
So I think that's always important.
Oh, absolutely. Now, we're pretty much out of time, so maybe you could tell people where they can find more about you and about your books.
Okay. Well, you can go to my website, which is giving me fits at the moment. But, you know, it's a new learning experience, right? It's called howtodoitfrugally.com. And on it, you will find a section on my creative work and a section on my How to Do It Frugally series. There's the How to Do It Frugally series for writers, and there's the How to Do It Frugally series for retailers. And you'll also find me blogging at sharingwithwriters.blogspot.com, and it gives lots of promotional resources. And on editing at thefrugaleditor.blogspot.com. And on all those blogs, you can sign up for my newsletter. Twice a year, I do an all-tips edition of nothing but resources and no articles, just tips, 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 tips.
Yes, that just came out, didn't it? I just got that.
Oh, good girl. Yes, thank you.
Yes, it's great. So, yes, and I've had a look at all your sites, and you have so much material. So I really recommend people go over and have a look. And you're also on Twitter?
I'm also on Twitter, at Frugal Book Promo.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll put all those links on the show notes to the podcast. So thanks ever so much for your time, Carolyn. That was great.
It was really exciting to be with you. And as I told you before, I love your accent. We'll talk anytime you want. I'll feed off that accent.
Oh, thank you.
I know it's not an accent in Australia, but it is here.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.